Seen you locked and changed, didn't ease my pain. Left me feeling ashamed out in the rain. Can't explain the pain, how I stay sane. Don't like the game, will it ever change?
Tommy Watson, and welcome to Resilient Stories, where we share the grit and glory behind the stories of amazing people like you who have bounced back from failure and adversity, going to live the best lives on purpose. Today's show is being sponsored by Million Dollar Business Pathway, where we believe everyone has a story to tell and to sell. If you want to learn how to tell and sell your story, go to tawatson.com under the Programs and Products page and click on Million Dollar Business Pathway to get yourself started. Are you guys ready for another amazing show and guest today? I am very excited to have with me the one and only Kathy Takaro. How are you doing this morning, Kathy? Did I get that right?
Yeah, you did.
Awesome.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Welcome to the show, Kathy. So for our listening audience who may not necessarily know you, Kathy, let's give them a quick rundown who you are and what you do.
Okay. I am a heavy equipment operator, but not just any heavy equipment operator. I operate the... Yeah. I operate the largest equipment in the world up in Northern Canada. And this is a copy of my book. You can see the truck. It is, for those that are listening, it is 2.5 stories. My book is called Dream Big. The truck is 2.5 stories high. Wow. It carries 400 tons of dirt. When the box is up, it's 5 stories high. You can fit 30 people on the deck up here.
Wow.
It's worth $8 million. The tires are 14 feet high. It's unbelievable.
That is amazing.
The gator that I operate is, I know, right? I mean, look at that sucker. I'm 5'6" and I come not even to half the tire.
That's tall as my house. That's crazy. Oh,
it is a house. It's 3,800 square feet, right?
Wow.
Yeah, the grader I operate is larger than a tractor trailer that you see on the highways. It's bigger than that. When one passes by my grader, I'm actually looking down at those trucks.
Wow.
So what you think is big to me is a toy.
Wow. And Kathy, you also do speaking as well and a number of other things as well, right?
I do. I'm a motivational speaker. I work a lot with women in shelters, youth in schools. I go to juvenile homes. I go to prisons. I host community events. And I do all this for free because it's not about money, but it's about giving hope and inspiring people that no matter what their situation is, that they too can change. That right. It's a matter of making a decision and following through, taking baby steps.
Yes.
So I do quite a bit all over the world.
That is amazing. And we need people like you who are out there doing that. So folks, if you're looking for a great speaker, you got to tap into Kathy Takaro. Make sure you bring her in. Kathy, if folks want to get a hold of you, what's the best way to contact you?
My Facebook is my name on Instagram. It's a Blue Star Blogger because I also have a blogging site. My book's available on Amazon. I also have a children's book, which is specifically geared for children who are being sexually abused. It's based on my own story and my spiritual journey. That's available in English, French, and Spanish. And my book also is available English, French, Spanish, and now Hindi, which is super cool. And I have Portuguese on a little USB stick. I just got to get it done.
That is awesome.
Amazon, Kindle, everywhere. I also have a Dream Big workbook because this book is based on emotions. My very first emotion was fear. So I talk a little bit about my story and then I give suggestions and solutions for the reader to do some self-reflection. Like, what am I afraid of? Or what would happen if I take that one word fear out of the equation? What could I accomplish? So the workbook, goes along with the book. I release a chapter only online every couple months. So every chapter's got about 20 questions and it's really an in-depth workbook to address our own deepest fears or loneliness or depression or anxiety, whatever it is, right? And I also give a lot of spiritual exercises in order for the person who's hurting to take some time away and sit down and do some meditation and kind of go inside and finish that journey to get some healing. I got a lot going on.
That is absolutely awesome and so much needed in our society today. We need that healing and those opportunities. I'm glad to have you on the show as well.
Yeah, thank you.
The Resilient Stories podcast focuses on bringing amazing people like you in who have overcome some obstacles and have you talk us through some of those obstacles. So I'm going to start with my first question. And it is, Kathy, what's been your biggest obstacle you've had to overcome personally or professionally in your life?
This is going to sound like a weird answer, but myself. And what that. Let me explain that. Because I am my biggest obstacle. I'm the one who, for the longest time, prevented myself from advancing, prevented myself from trying, my own inner fears, my own low self-esteem, my insecurities, my everything about me. Oh, I'm not good enough. I can't do this. I was so afraid of everything. I mean, I never spoke. I never shared my story until I was 40 years old. Like, wow. Not even my mother or my family knew anything about it.
Really?
So I'll tell you a little bit more later, but yeah.
Tell us a little about that, Kathy, because you said, that story, what's that story that was never told?
Well, it's because I was a nurse for 13 years and in my nursing career, which was phenomenal, but it was very easy for me to take care of other people's pain and trauma because it's physical. I could see it. It's tangible. I could work with it. Right. Mm-hmm. But when it came to me, my pain was so great. And it's because for those that don't know, I mean, I was molested as a child. I was raped many times. I was gang raped. I lived an incredible life of extreme violence. Even when I was nursing, I had 7.5 years with two different men that were so violent. I was strangled 3 times to the point of losing consciousness. Wow. I lived with a shovel on my porch as a reminder of what I was going to be buried with. Wow. I was stalked for a year, like horrifically stalked. I'd come home, there'd be messages on my wall, like, I'm coming for you, and just all sorts of stuff. I had a bodyguard. It was very difficult for me to escape. And I call it the great escape in 2007 when he had strangled me and I should be dead. I should be dead, but by the grace of God, I'm not.
Yes.
And I got on a bus. I managed to get away. And when I got on that bus, I decided I found a job immediately. I found a place to live. And you know how people say, oh, what happens in the past stays in the past, and we'll just let sleeping dogs lie and just don't touch it. Well, that's what I was really good at doing. So I just push. And I went back to nursing, and a year later of trying to put one foot in front of the other, because you need a paycheck, right? You got to survive. I was so tired. I was so mentally exhausted by the age of 40 that one night I showed up for my nursing shift, and I have 10 people to take care of. And I'm looking at my list and I couldn't read it. Wow. I couldn't see the words because my mind was done. Like, yeah. I had no more strength to pretend that I'm tough, that I'm a survivor, that, oh, you got this, right? I couldn't do it.
Yes.
So right there, I quit my job and I went from the medical unit up here down to the psychiatric unit a few floors below in my nursing scrubs. And in between the two, I lost my mind. It's like a 40 years of pain and trauma just went like this.
Yes.
And by the time I hit the psychiatric unit, I'm pounding on the door because it's locked. Right. I'm like, let me in. They're calling security. Get her out. So the security guards dragged me down to ER and where a psychiatric doctor assessed me. And it was the first time in my life that I actually told someone everything. I spent 2.5 hours with that doctor, and I was fully expecting him to kind of stamp me on the forehead, you know, give me some happy pills, go lock me up for a 72-hour assessment saying that I'm either bipolar, you know, schizophrenic, multiple personality, something to say that I wasn't normal.
Yeah.
And when I asked him, I said, so are we going? He says, go where? I said, well, aren't you going to lock me up and give me some happy pills? And he's like, my dear, he says, there's no amount of pills that's going to fix you. He says, you need to fix you.
Yes.
You need to, number one, quit drinking, because in the meantime, I'd become an alcoholic, a really heavy alcoholic. He says, you need to quit drinking. You need to go address everything that you've mentioned to me, because pills don't fix that.
Right.
And I was a little shocked. And that was in 2008. And that's the first time that I actually started my recovery. And so there's a lot of ups and downs in that. It went from bad to worse before I could get better again.
I have another question for you. And let me start by saying thank you so much for having the courage to share your story with me and our audience and all the other folks that you share your story with as well. So, you know, as you're going through all these things, You know, I can remember when I was in college, I had that kind of breakdown moment because I was running for everything, running from everything. And I never told anybody my story and I had a breakdown moment there as well. What were some of the emotions you were dealing with? Because, you know, people may hear about this from a distance, those breakdown moments because of all this trauma and pain. Talk to us about some of the emotions you were dealing with as you were going through some of these challenging times. What were some of the things you were feeling?
Well, at that time, I couldn't pinpoint a word for the emotion that I was feeling, because you got to remember that since I've been a very, very small child, there's been such extreme violence in my home. I mean, I started running away at 6 and living in the doghouse because it was the only safe place that I had, that I didn't, fear was ingrained in me. So it was, I guess, the fear of my ex trying to find me was the biggest one, because he did stalk me many times. Like, it was horrible. But during the breakdown itself was just failure, absolute failure. I couldn't seem to like, and I'm thinking, Jesus, I'm a nurse, I'm educated, how come I can't get it together? I didn't know how to cope. I didn't know how to deal with loneliness, with that feeling of low self-esteem, or I didn't understand boundaries. I didn't understand that deep down that I was angry because I was so used to pleasing and being a chameleon for whoever was in front of me, to please them, because you're starved for love, that you're just trying to please everybody, right? You want you want to make people happy. And being a nurse, that was easy for me. So when all this happened, I was a mess. Like, I couldn't even comb my hair. I couldn't figure it out. I was having a hard time putting one foot in front of the other. It brought me to the point, honestly. I did go to 3 weeks treatment that time, but it wasn't enough. I went back to nursing and I was drinking within 2 weeks, and I officially lost my nursing career. And I ended up drunk and homeless. I lost everything. My daughter was 16 at the time. She would not talk to me. On my arm here, I don't remember doing it. I slashed my arm so bad. I had almost 100 stitches. I was in ICU for 3 days. And then when I came out, that's when I was homeless and I had nothing. I was robbed. I only had literally the clothes on my back. And this guy named, like, so I was walking around like in a fog, you know, just a zombie state. So the emotions, I don't really know. It was just like a state of unbelievable shock and just zombie. It's the only way I could say it. Mm-hmm. So on the 7th day of being homeless, this guy named Toothless Joe, I kid you not, he's quite happy with his circumstances, right? Uh-huh. So he comes along and I'm just kind of like this, like just a mess. He slaps me on the back and he goes, "This is the life, you know, live it, love it." Ah, like big toothless grin. And when he did that, it was like a God smack, because when he slapped me on the back, it's as if decades of depression, it just shattered. Wow. And I saw crystal clear, like it was beyond clear. And I'm looking at my very dismal surroundings and I look at him and I say, "What did you just say?" And I'm like, "This is not my life. Yeah. I don't care what you think is okay, buddy. This is not my life." I even stomped my foot. So wow. Because even though I had nothing, I had my mind enough to make a decision that I was going to do whatever it took to get away from that guy.
Yes.
And I turned around, I went to the hospital, I detoxed, and I found a women's program where you live there for a year and it's a faith-based program. So we had Bible study every morning, but the rest of the day, Monday to Friday, was strictly therapy. So you didn't have to worry about money. They gave you $260 a month. You had 3 square meals. You had your own room. I mean, you had the safety of that. So where all I did was unlearn all the lies that have been taught to me since as a child, that I'm no good, I'm stupid, I'm useless, I'll never amount to nothing, I'm fat, I'm ugly, whatever, right? And then I had to relearn at the age of 40 who Kathy really was, like, because I didn't know. There were so many layers that were, you know, I'd unravel one thing and then poof, something bigger would come out. Yeah. So there was it took actually 2 years for me to really reach the depth, the core. I mean, there were so many workbooks that I had to work through and things that I did. Well, and it was,
I really appreciate you sharing that. Was there, what was the best piece of advice you received as you were kind of in that moment though? When you look back, was there a mentor or someone shared something with you or someone who guided you that shared some information that was very helpful for you?
My counselor. Yeah, I had three counselors over the two years. And the last counselor that I had, absolutely. She's the one who taught me, believe it or not, by now I'm 42, how to say no.
Wow. Yes.
It may sound simple, but I was a doormat and I didn't have boundaries. Yes. And learning to stand up for myself and say, no, today I'm not doing that, because I was such a people pleaser that I would run myself ragged. And I know there's a lot of people out there that are just like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, they make them feel guilty. Say if they have a sick loved one or whatever it is, that even though they're tired, they won't say no and they'll do it anyway. Well, yeah. I learned to say, no, not today. I can't do it, because if I didn't take care of my own self, how am I supposed to do anything that's going to be of value if I'm tired and I'm not thinking straight? Yeah. So that was the biggest, most thing. And really learning to take care of myself first. That's got to be the best thing.
That's going to be a huge nugget. That's going to be a blessing to a lot of people out there, because we all of us to some degree, in particular, we've been wounded or come from some type of traumatic background. We do want to please others, though.
We do.
So, you know, Kathy, as you look back in your dark, on your darkest day, in your darkest moment, what kept you fighting?
I'll share a little story, because this is unbelievable. It's in my book. But back when I relapsed from nursing, and I'd been fired for officially, and I laid on the couch for 3 days in my dismal little crappy basement suite that I was living in, that was so depressing. I laid on my couch for 3 days waiting for God to save me, right? Wow. I literally did. I didn't eat. I just laid there in a dark, dark place. And on the third day, I managed to get off the couch. I'm on my knees and I'm just desperate, right? And I'm sobbing and I'm talking to God. I'm like, why? Like, I don't understand. I don't have the energy. What am I supposed to do? And this song came on. It was a DVD, and it's from the Foo Fighters. It's called Another Round, and it's a slow acoustic version. And the song repeats itself all the time. Can you go another round? I will follow you. So as I'm on my knees crying, the words penetrated. I'm like, so I stop crying and I say, well, can I go another round? Do I have the strength? And I kind of look up like this, and there's one window in this little apartment, and it was covered. The guy was a hoarder, so there's garbage everywhere. And there's no light that came through that window. But in that moment, there's a ray of light about the size of this, and it came through and it touched me in my heart center. And in the ray of light, there was little stars, and they were twirling around. They were blue, pink, purple, yellow, and they were just spinning. And I'm looking, and the song is playing, can you go another round? I will follow you. And because I have such a strong faith, I said, you'll follow me. Hey, we'll see about that. So I get up, I move over to the kitchen. Well, Tommy, I cannot express enough. The light followed me. It never left my heart center. And I wasn't drunk. I wasn't hallucinating. Okay. I was sober, and it never left my side. And so then I went from the kitchen over to the couch, and I jumped up and down to see if the light would fall. It never left. It stayed glued to my center, no matter where I went. And the song is still playing. Can you go another round? I will follow you. And in that moment, that's when I fell back on my knees and I surrendered completely. And I'm like, okay, clearly you got another plan for me. I don't know what that is, but whatever it is, I'll give it another shot. I'm like, okay. And the minute I said, okay, I heard a voice in my ear and it said, Kathy, get up. I panic. I'm thinking it's my crazy ex who found me again, right? So I look around, there's nobody there. Wow. And the voice said again, Kathy, get up. So I stand up, and there's a knock on the door. It was the neighbor that was upstairs. He'd been gone for 3 days. And he says, Kathy, I had this feeling you're not doing well. He says, can I help? And when opportunity knocks, literally, you take it. So yeah, he had brought me to detox, and that's like, you know, that's one part of my story as well. So
that is
awesome.
And that is amazing. You're talking about, can you go another round? Some of us need to be asking ourselves, can we go another round on our darkest days? Because sometimes the fight that we think is gone, we have enough to keep going another round if we really think about it as well. So Kathy, as you reflect back on your journey, How would you say all this kind of shaped you as a person?
Oh my gosh. You know, I think, because I think about that a lot, I don't think that I would be the person I am today if I didn't have to go through all that. I mean, because just looking back at how shy and repressed and I didn't have a voice, and even when I was a model for a few years, when I was in 18 or 19, I was in Miami, New York, and I couldn't voice anything. And if anything, my job, my career change is the best career change ever. I just got to say this real quick, ladies, if you're looking for a career change, doesn't matter what age you are, try Heavy Equipment. Oh my God. It is men's best kept secret. It is so much fun, but it's given me a voice, you know, and this voice has enabled me to help others rise out of their pain and out of their misery. So although I wouldn't want to go through or live through it again, in a sense, it really helped mold who I am. Really did. Yeah.
You know, Kathy, I really appreciate your courage again, sharing your story. As you look back from your rise from pain, would you do anything differently? And I'm not talking about what took place to you, because you definitely can't, you know, do anything different about people's raping you in sexual molestation. That's unfortunate. But as you rose from the pain to where you are today, would you do anything differently?
You know what? Absolutely. Number one, press charges.
Yeah.
I didn't because out of fear. And my main motto is feel the fear and do it anyway. It just, because I was so repressed by fear that the repercussions of fear of what if I put him in jail and all this stuff, you know, it's all BS. And there's so much, and I tell this to ladies when I, in the shelters that I go to, it's not so much them hitting you and messing with your mind. You're part to blame because you accept it.
Yes.
And they don't like to hear that, but it's the truth. And I accepted it. I let it happen, because if I would have caught it immediately when the red flags are there and kick them to the curb, say, sorry, dude, right? Yeah. Then it wouldn't have happened. But because we're women tend to be caregivers. Oh, no, he'll change, or I'll love him enough. No, honey, your love ain't gonna do jack nothing, because love doesn't change people. It, you know, you cannot fix things that people that are really messed up. They need to fix themselves. You're not a doctor. You're not a psychiatrist. You're not a therapist. You know, and just because you're with someone, that doesn't mean. I mean, you can help guide, but in those circumstances, press charges, have a voice.
Yeah.
If I would have said something years ago, even as a teenager, maybe my life wouldn't have been through all the, you know, I wouldn't have accepted it. I wouldn't have tolerated it, definitely. You know, but because I didn't, it could have been so much worse. Honestly, I should be dead 10 times over. And that's another reason why I do things now, because once I got this job, because I work, if you think about it, I work 2 weeks straight and then I get 2 weeks off. And on those 2 weeks, that's when I travel and make a difference. But when I first got the job, my decision was, well, I should be dead. Did God leave me here on earth just to sit at home and watch, or stay on the couch, watch useless TV programs?
Right.
I don't think so. So I'm using that time to create change, to make that ripple effect that will help people rise. So it really depends on you and having that voice.
That's awesome. I love it. And Kathy, you know, we're coming off a year where people have suffered some great consequences. You know, people have lost loved ones, lost jobs, lost finances, have lost hope. For those folks out there who may be listening right now and they've lost, what advice can you give those folks, man, to hang in there, to stay going, to keep going, and that a better day is to come? Talk to those folks.
This is going to be a little different than what most people say, but from my own personal experience, after having lost everything myself, and even my career, my identity, because my whole identity was in nursing. So when you took that away, like as soon as you take the scrubs and the nursing hat away, I was raw. Like I was so, I was like such an open wound that was infected and I didn't know. But once I was able to recognize what was holding me, it's, you got to let go of the attachment to your house, to your things, to whatever job that you had. Once I was able to step away and look at things from a different perspective, it's almost as if you can do an exercise, sit in a chair, and if you can pull yourself out of your body and kind of look down at your life at like a chessboard, mm-hmm. and what really does your stuff mean to you? I mean, it's just stuff. You're mm-hmm. gonna, like, I mean, everyone dies. You can't take it with you, but people are so attached. They don't want to let go. Well, maybe once you let go, sometimes holding on does more damage than letting go. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So if you're able to learn to let go and learn to recognize what the attachment is to those things, I mean, it's just a job. There's other jobs. I mean, I lost my nursing career, but I found a better one. I found a job that's 10 times better and pays three times the amount of money, yeah. right? So if we're able to open up the shutters and try and see things from a different perspective, that maybe it might be dismal right now, but there's resources out there, there's help out there, use them. And a lot of it's free. So yeah. I think it takes a lot of personal self-reflection to learn to grow and change through pain in order to, because on the other side of fear lies freedom. And you know that.
Yes.
Right?
Very well said, Kathy. Great message. Folks, I hope you're inspired by her message out there. Again, Kathy, if folks want to get a hold of you, what's the best way to do that?
KathyTuccaro.com. Kathy with a K, Tuccaro, TuccaRO.com, or BlueStarBlogger.com is my blog. Amazon, Kindle, Kobo, you name it.
Well, I'll tell you, reach out to her. She lives in Canada if you're in the States. So, but you know, one of the great things about this year, we're doing a lot more virtual speaking. So bring her in virtually if you can't get her to come to the States from Canada. Okay. So Kathy, we talked a lot about some of the tough stuff. Are you ready to have some fun?
I am. Let's go.
All right, Kathy, you've done fun. So this portion of our show is called the Rapid Fire Purpose Questions. All right.
Oh my God. Hang on. I
here we
ready.
Go. Get
okay.
some water. Get some water there. So what I'm going to do here, okay. Kathy, I'm going to ask you a number of questions about purpose. I'm not going to elaborate on the questions. I want you to give me and the audience your best answer. Okay?
Okay.
Here we go. Kathy, tell us how you have turned a dream into reality.
I speak with women and children all around the world. Children have needed a book, something to help them get through their pain. I wrote a children's book specifically based on spirituality and help them deal with their childhood trauma.
Awesome. What gives your life meaning?
Giving back to people, helping people rise out of their pain, giving hope.
Yes. If money wasn't an issue, what would you do with your time?
I'd still be giving hope.
Yes.
Everywhere I go, around the world. Right, raising people, feeding people. I want to, my ultimate goal is to feed a stadium full of people.
Yes, I love it. What one word best describes you?
Determined.
Okay. What was your favorite thing to do as a kid?
Play with my dog, because the dog was love, pure okay. love.
Good. What do you wish you had more time to do?
Travel the world.
Travel the world.
And help people, uplift the world.
I love it. What does your 15-year-old self imagine you would be doing right now?
Oof, probably modeling still. I don't know. I was modeling back then.
Okay. Who inspires you the most?
My coworkers.
Okay, good.
Because they've taught me a lot. They've taught me to be patient, to have a voice. They transformed who I am. Actually, I take that back. Them and the women that are fighting for themselves, that are getting out of their trauma, they inspire me the most.
I love it. What's something about yourself that might surprise us to learn about you?
My God. I'm a really good French chef. I make really good cuisine because I'm French, right? So
drive the truck and you cook. That's awesome. Awesome. What's on your bucket list to do within the next year?
Oh, I'm in the middle of, I just hired a screenwriter and we are working. He'll be done in 2 months and we are working on my movie. It's
awesome.
Called Steel.
I know, right? Congratulations. I love it. What's
something
you'll spend time doing no matter what?
Always giving back to people. Always. Doesn't matter. I started Operation Hydration, and I give water, cold water to the homeless on the hottest days of the year. So you bet. I love it.
What's something you want your grandchildren to say about you?
My grandma is a legacy.
There you go. That's a good one. Good. If you were a superhero, what would your superpower be?
Oh boy. Transport myself so I can be in many places at once.
Okay.
Giving back to different countries all at once, helping everywhere.
I love it. I love it. Heart for giving back. What do you love to learn about?
Everything. Life. I'm a hunger. You know what? It's more about figuring out how people have helped themselves, how they've changed and growth.
I love it. What sparks your creativity?
I'm a Gemini. I don't know. Okay. You know, Mother Nature, believe it or not, when I'm up in north, like the scenery is unbelievable. The northern lights, the stars. Sometimes I'll look up there and I'll think of something. And when I meditate, sometimes I'll be in another world and I'm like, oh, that's what I need to do. So yes, meditation. It. There you go.
If you became president today, what would your law, what would be the first law you would pass?
Oh, geez. I was going to say death penalty to child molesters.
I'm sure you might get some
a definite life sentence immediate to, there's no pardon to child molesters, none whatsoever.
I'm sure you get a lot of amens out there for that as well. If you could follow someone around for a day, who would it be and why?
Tony Robbins.
Okay.
I'd be like a sponge.
Yeah. Good pick. What's been the best gift someone's ever given you?
I had the gift of love and hope. Mm-hmm. A little quick story. I tried to commit suicide. I was going to jump a bridge and after the gang rape, and I had swallowed a bunch of pills, and there's a woman whose daughter, who was about my age, who was dying in the room next to me. Mm-hmm. And she couldn't help her daughter. That woman came because I was in the hall and I was so humiliated. I mean, I was puking up all the stuff and coming out everywhere. The nurses were too busy. That woman, she couldn't help her daughter. She came to help me. She washed my face. She gave me love. And she says, why would you do such a thing when life is so precious? Wow. And she gave me hope. And that one little transference of love gave me the inspiration to continue again. So that was the best gift I ever got.
Awesome. Kudos to that mother, man. That's tough. Yeah, tough situation there. What's been the one thing you have never been afraid to do?
Follow my dreams.
Good. What moment from your childhood are you most proud of?
Boy. I got an award for helping other kids with their English because I was really smart in English. So I got an award for that. That was a big one.
Awesome.
The underdogs, you know? Yeah.
Yep. What does success look like for you?
Feeding my stadium full of people.
Yes.
Actually, no, my goal, all the proceeds to my book is going to open an orphanage down in Grenada. I absolutely fell in love with that island, and I'm going to be retiring there, and I'm going to it's my orphanage.
I see it. I see it happening there. What are you most grateful for?
Life.
Yes. What has been the biggest lesson you have learned in life?
Stand up for myself because I never did. I never could. I didn't have a voice. The minute I took my own control of my own life again, oh my God, it has changed everything. You know, and don't let people walk on me and don't let people say comments that are degrading. Not happening.
Absolutely.
It's huge.
I love it. And Kathy, last but not least, how do you want to be remembered in history?
Kathy Takaro changed the world.
Wow. Plain and simple. Kathy, you survived.
Is that too much?
Awesome job. You survived, Kathy. Thank you very much. I hope you guys are pumped up and inspired after hearing Kathy's story, man. Such an amazing story. And again, Kathy. Hey,
you see this? That's my wall of love. Gifts from Grenada. That's gifts from people. That's cards. That's all people who have inspired me. It's right behind me.
Wow. So some of you guys probably can't see that. There's a wall of love behind Kathy. She has cards from folks from all around the world.
pictures, yeah, all around the world.
Awesome. I love it. Great job. Keep doing the work you're doing. Kathy, for folks who want to connect with you, again, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
KathyTuccaro.com, T-U-C-C-A-R-O, Kathy with a K, because it's got more power to it.
Yeah,
and Amazon, Kindle, BlueStarBlogger.com as well.
Awesome. So, Kathy, as we're going to wrap things up here, the focal point of our show focuses on two things, purpose and resiliency. What last words can you leave our audience with around purpose and resiliency?
Oh, you know, a few things. Your value does not decrease based on someone else's inability to see your worth, right? Because I spent my whole life believing what other people thought of me. So don't believe what people think, believe what you think. Mm-hmm. And I think you need to believe in the person you want to become regardless of your situation. You really do. And to start changing the story you're telling yourself that you're not good enough. You are good enough. You are worthy. You are strong. You are beautiful. Whatever it is. Because if you don't make time for your wellness, you're going to have to make time for your illness. I did. And if you really, it's not worth it. It just take care of yourself now. And resiliency, man. Keep putting one step in front of the other. Keep fighting for your dreams. Even if you cry the whole way there, keep crying, but keep moving. Don't stall.
That's right. Well, great advice, Kathy. Thank you very much. I can't thank you enough for coming on.
You're welcome. Advice.
Hey, folks out there, if you're someone, you're an overcomer with an amazing story, we want to hear from you. Please go to tawatson.com. Share your story with us. Subscribe to our podcast, Resilient Stories podcast. Download it, rate it, share with your folks on social media. And again, I want to thank everyone out there for tuning in. God bless everyone. Peace and deuces, everyone.
Yours truly.
Thank you so much,
Dr. Watson. My story.